So, okay. Y'all know?
Absolutely.
All righty. I call the July 10th, 2017 Special Projects and Facilities Committee meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Member Boren?
Yes.
Member Gaines?
Yes.
Chair Brooks?
Yes.
Also in attendance is Commissioner Lennon and Commissioner Underdog. All right.
Okay. Yes.
So turn it over to me?
Yes. Turn it over to Lisa to discuss West.
Excellent. Steel. I'm going to bring Chris and Mike into this discussion also. So when we were going over the construction documents for the take-up parking lot and trail construction, it became obvious that we're going to have to close down Reinsdorf Field. As you know, Reinsdorf Field is our only lighted field in our district, and it houses many different athletic organizations. So we wanted to bring forth a possibility of a plan to accommodate these groups by doing temporary lighting at West Field. The reason we picked West Field is because that is used during Saturdays and Sundays a lot for our athletic groups, and it's probably the one location that's farthest away from the houses because you got the school, you got the tennis courts and the thing. So up there, I mean, Aaron, can you hit the lights?
Does this fall asleep?
It's up there.
Oh, it is?
That's not for my projector, is it?
No.
No. Okay. Let's see if we can make it a little bigger. Mike, can you explain what groups are using this field or could use this field? Do you use Reinsdorf currently?
Yep. So currently at Reinsdorf, we have AYSO, Scottish Soccer, North Shore Football, Team One Lacrosse, and GBA who use Field Time at Takeoff. We've been lucky enough to be able to pick up most of the things that they do at Takeoff and just set them right at West Field. In this area here between Willow Tree Lane and the Pony Field, we can accommodate a 50-yard football field,
correct,
as well as some soccer fields. So in theory, with lighting, we'd be able to pick up all of those user groups and relocate them to West with a very minor, with almost no rearranging whatsoever. But the lighting is imperative for all of those groups except for GBA and AYSO.
Okay. Keep in mind that our affiliates who use this field are GBA and AYSO. The other one are rental groups. The cost of the lighting, we estimate 3 to 4. We're going to start out with 3 and then possibly 4. But Chris, can you talk about the lighting cost and what kind of lighting this is?
So, types of temporary lighting that we're looking at is a 4,000-watt tower, similar almost exactly to what we've rented and used for the 4th of July at Lakefront Park. So the exact same piece of equipment. So the piece of equipment rents for about $600 a month. So depending if we would need them for 3 months, 2 months, depending on the weather, 3 to start with, evaluate to see if we need a 4th. So per tower would be $600 a month. So we'd be looking at a $2,400 a month fee if we had to go with the maximum amount of towers.
So the rental cost for these fields would not cover, though, we want to make it clear, would not cover those usage fees for these lightings. We would actually lose money on rentals and affiliates. It's more of just a accommodation since we're taking away the field currently at Takeoff. Yes.
Lights are, I meant to say this, are self-contained, so there wouldn't be wires on the ground,
right,
running from tower to tower, cones, anything that could be a trip hazard out there. It would be the light trailer, which would be installed, would be cranked up, and it would just be in that area.
How would they turn it on and off?
It would have to be turned on and off manually with a key.
Okay.
But what about telescoping the tower?
They do telescope.
No, I understand that. Are we going to leave them erected the whole time that they're there, or are they going to be put up and down for use?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we haven't really logistically worked out if we would put them down every night, how we would go about doing that. I think that's all part of the discussion as to what would be expected.
My only concern is leaving the towers erected. As a 12-year-old boy at heart, I would be climbing the boom.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking a snow fence around it to restrict their ease of access, mm-hmm, to slow them down. That's all we can hope to accomplish, mm-hmm, but still to permit the knowledgeable user access to turn it on and off.
Mm.
So you've now heard from the junior high school.
So as you can see, I mean, this would be a change to this neighborhood. They do not have lights on this field currently. It would be a temporary for only this fall. It would not be a permanent solution. We would not all of a sudden say, come back next year and say, hey, we want to do this again.
Yeah.
We'd make it very clear that this is a one and done just because of the construction.
Right.
We would shut them off at 9 p.m. That would be the length of it, Monday through Friday. We would not offer it for Saturday and Sunday because we figure there's enough daytime use that can be accomplished on that. So it would be Monday through Friday till 9 p.m. at the latest.
And the dates of this, approximately?
It would be...
roughly the fall season would go on from the end of April until the very beginning of November.
Okay.
So really, September 15th, it could start at 7.
Less than three.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, right.
Do you have to have four?
We're going to
try three.
First to see, I think three will be enough, but we'll see. It's all based on safety, how much it lights up, how much they can see out there. So that's what our goal is, to do three.
And then residents will get a letter?
Then we would pass out a letter and we would explain this is a temporary inconvenience for 3 months.
And you're planning on shining them away from the houses towards the
We will
field.
Pass it, point them towards, there will be some ambient light, I'm going to say that it will come off the lights without a doubt. And obviously there'll be more noise than is normal in this area because there's usually not... It's not as active, so there's more noise that goes on, so you have to know that too.
That's primarily from the people, not from the generators?
No, from the kids. Yeah, the people.
The cars?
Yeah, no, it'd be the kids, the cars, and the extra activity that's going on in this park that is not normally. And yes, we would point the lights towards the school, towards Dundee Road.
I would like to mention, being one of the elder statesmen who just a few minutes ago was in junior high school, that this field used to be programmed a lot more than it is currently.
Mm-hmm.
And the residents on there of my generation would probably remember that, and might even some of them miss that, but there used to be a lot more action over at West School.
Mm-hmm.
So historically, they bought a house along the park, and they get what goes with that. My feeling is that the community and certainly the user groups have a certain level of expectation of the park district that we're here to provide the fields that are needed for the accepted repetitive users. And by taking that away, I think it behooves us to do something just like this to continue to be able to have services available. It's part of what our mission is.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really obstructing that with this positive program we have temporarily to redo stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the right thing, and we certainly will be compassionate to the neighbors and our explanations, and at the same time, it's something we should be doing.
Okay.
Lisa, I have just two questions. First of all, I think given it's temporary, I think it's a good idea, but two questions are, these, if I recall correctly, these fields get wet a lot. Do you have any major concerns with so much increased usage, given that they're wet a lot of the time?
Well, I would think that we're going to definitely see an increased wear and tear. I mean, we're going to have to make adjustments in the spring. We're going to have to make adjustments in the fall or the way we manage them. At the same time, we have TAKIF, which will be really getting a year of rest.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be its first season of rest in 25 or 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that is going to make up for the fact that next fall this field is going to be dark again at, 6 o'clock, 6:30,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be able to make that up. I mean, we will see some wear and tear that we haven't normally seen out there, but to me it's nothing that causes any great concern.
Isn't the wettest area between home plate and first base on that field?
There's two areas that are wet. Right behind on the west end of the dugout is pretty wet there. That's a low spot. And adjacent to the west tennis court gets pretty wet. Both areas, which are out of play for the most part. I mean, GBA's used there is the K-ball field at the south end of the site by the corner of Willow and Cherry. So with soccer and football that are out there, soccer is usually, Scottish soccer both, they're usually pretty cognizant of not playing out there when there's 2.5 or 3 inches of standing water. So I'm not overly concerned that the field is going to be abused compared to the other uses of other fields.
Exactly.
Will they get less play though? Then, will it be shut down more than take a foot or no? Like they should be able to
probably
have
about the same
activity.
About the same. I mean, there is some limited drainage on take a field, but I don't see any major difference other than the space constraints. It is smaller than take a field.
Mm-hmm. And really, the point is, there's no choice. There's no other place for us to put these activities.
Yeah.
This is a Yeah. Right?
This would be the only choice we had, yes. Yeah.
So that brings me to my second question, which is, have you informed these entities already that they're going to have to move from here?
We contacted them and said, you know, GBA is the only one that's not interested in moving. They don't tend to like to use this field anyways. Okay. So, but all the other ones would like to move to this area.
Okay, so they're not likely to say, forget it, we're going to move to
No, they haven't indicated.
They've all said that they are okay with moving to West, but they're anxiously waiting to find out if they're going to have lights.
Yes.
But yeah, they're all happy with the move and the accommodation we're making for them. Mm-hmm. And then we go in with the renters who pay. They have to make a commitment to say, you know, that they have to take with the time we're giving them so that they end up only taking one day a week and we've got all these lights sitting out there only being used once. You know,
right.
We can't put ourselves in that situation.
So they're going to make it, once they commit to those days, they're paying unless it's unforeseen circumstances. Yep.
Dudley, do you have anything?
I have a question. Yeah. Chris, are you able to help direct the light in certain areas? I'm concerned about light trespass into the residential areas. Do you work with them, or how?
We would work on directing the lights as appropriate for the sports field use. At the same time, these are not LED sport lights. They're not, you know, permanent fixtures. There is going to be some overcast into the streets. Like Lisa said, there will be some glare. I mean, these are really temporary lights that we're kind of repurposing for our function. So it's not going to be the same as sports field lighting. It's not going to, so there could be some potential, some trespass there.
And nights when no one's playing, the lights are not going to come on. So it's not an automatic every night until 9 kind of thing. It's just per use.
Correct. It's not like they're parking the lights.
So that is reassuring as well.
Yes. Okay. Only when kids are out there. And then
they'll be off at 9?
That would be at
that's 9. What we, that's what we recommend at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's normal programming when normal programming ends.
Okay.
All righty.
Is a consensus. We'll go for approval, but the next step is we'll actually approve this at the board meeting, so that way we have it on record as official approval, because we can't do that tonight. In the meantime, we didn't even approach the village with this idea, because we wanted to make sure it was okay with you before we start that process. We're going to contact them tomorrow saying, do you have a problem with us doing this? Seeing if they have no problem, then we'll advance it to the board meeting next Tuesday.
All right, so I'll just go ahead and read this so it's official.
Sure, please.
Okay, as chair, I direct staff, based on the discussion of the committee, to forward the use of temporary field lights at West Park due to parking and trail construction at TACA for approval at the July regular meeting.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. All right, now's our fun time of the year.
Yes.
As you know, in June we did an extensive park tour, gave a lot of explanations to all of our parks and the improvements that we feel that we need. In your packet, we gave you the what the board agreed last year for our capital projects plan for the 3 years. And as we said at that time, this is a very fluid plan because things happen during the year. Priorities change, and it's meant to be a fluid plan to every year come back and talk about, are these still the things we wanted to do? We did put in a new format with an Excel spreadsheet so that we have a bottom total down there to show us how much money we have to deal with. So based on this and based on our current infrastructure, I put on your seats a recommendation, staff recommendations of what we believe should be our, to start off the discussion, what we believe should be our capital projects for 18-19, and then we'll be forward. Again, keeping in mind that it's fluid and things change and more money comes into from different resources and we're able to do more, maybe less, depending on what's happening. But these are our recommendations as a starting point for discussion for the board. So we really just wanted to throw it out to you to talk about this. We have it where we can move around the little things. Carol can, if you want to throw your thing up, has this on. I guess we do need a little bit lighter, but not all the way. It's what you have on your sheet of paper, so we can change it. We can change it live as we go.
Yeah.
So in 2018-19, as you can see, we really concentrated on our playgrounds. And you know, I think we talked about last year, Dudley, is it a need, is it a want, is it, you know, what is it, where does it go on your infrastructure? We believe our playgrounds, as we told you last year, are at the need basis. We put out those as they're safety and ADA driven. We want to make it very clear that any of the playgrounds we have up currently are not unsafe, but we're afraid within 4 years, 5 years, less, they may become unsafe. So, for example, Jefferson Vernon, it had a hard winter, and a component of that had to be taken down sooner than we thought. So we're really driving a lot of playground replacements over the next 3 years to move out the wooden playground infrastructure into the new modern one that will last 15 to 20 years. So in 2018, we're recommending Shelton Parkway path improvements. I'll make very clear on that one. That is not a big redesign of that park. It's not putting bridges. It's not putting rock gardens. What it is raising the current pathway we have so it's not underwater, so that pathway is usable throughout the year. If you remember, if you go out there, I think we saw on our park tour, we talked about it being underwater a lot. A lot of people get off the Green Bay Trail, use that as another circular path, and get back on. But we're finding in spring and in the fall, it's not usable at all. So we want to do a fix to that. Again, it's not going to be a major. I mean, Chris can allude to a little bit more what we were planning for Shelton.
I think the idea is to look at the specific area of the trail that is underwater versus looking at the whole trail, looking at the whole park. I mean, I think that the idea is to solve one specific problem without looking at a master plan for the whole site, without looking at using up a significant amount of resources on just one particular project. So
Chris, do you see this as a new pathway or the French drains that you did?
I don't think that the French drains are going to do it.
Okay,
the flooding that we have there is really we have a park drainage system that was done in the OSLAB project that was there in 2007, and the flooding is right at the extent of that drainage.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't flood where we put the drainage in, shocking, and it floods where the drainage isn't.
Uh-huh.
So it may be tying into the existing drainage system, it may be changing the grade on the path, it may be changing some grades in the park. I mean, I don't see it as a wholesale rerouting of the trail. But and that kind of will be TBD as we go forward.
So maybe even changing the pathway itself to
possibly
avoid the... Okay, so you
possibly
have no idea, but this is your best guess for how much this would cost.
Okay. Right. Okay, so the next one would be Lincoln and Crescent.
Question on that one?
Sure.
So the step would be, you'd hire an engineer to do an assessment?
Assessment stage is we know that it's underwater.
Yeah.
So I think we have that. I think the next step would be to really assess and assure that the function of the park drainage system is still working the way it was designed. So the system that we have out there is functional in that area. The next step would be to survey it, find out the grades, that type of a thing. And then I would look to bring in a landscape architect, preferably Ultima New, and develop a plan to solve that particular problem in that area, not looking at the whole park.
I see this more as an engineering issue than a landscape architecture issue, although they may be able to solve some of the problems with like a rain garden.
I think it's really a civil engineer, and I think that's
okay,
being coordinated through a landscape architect just because that's would be preferable in how
right
you develop that.
Okay.
Right. And we're not going to design each of these different areas. That's going to be when we go into our discussion phases for that. We would just want to talk about the priority of each item, and then we'll, as we get into the planning phases, how exactly we're going to approach those.
Although very quickly, the 70,000 to 80,000 sounds like it would get eaten up just in the assessment and planning. Mm-hmm.
You have to remember, typically for a larger project, an engineer and an architect are charging 10 to 11% of the project budget.
Right.
So for me, you know, an engineer would solve this problem and a landscape architect would make it pretty.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, we're talking about one of our most beautiful parks out of the whole park system, one of our best kept parks. So I don't think that the answer is necessarily like, you know, above ground drain pipe or big concrete stuff. I think the answer is nuancing it, and the 70 to 80,000 is really just understanding that we're talking about a 50 to 60 foot section of trail, not the whole park.
So $80,000 out, pathway is pretty clear even when it rains.
It rains for most drains.
If
we
have
100 year
right
rain, it's going to be
uh-huh
underwater.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. That's my goal.
Carol, can I make a suggestion?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
If you could collapse your ribbon there, you could make it a little bigger.
The ribbon?
See that little under sign-in in the top right corner? There's a little in the top right corner.
Oh, sorry.
There's a little like carrot thing underneath that. Yeah, click. Oh, you just were on it.
Anyways, while we're doing that, I have had feedback on the Shelton Park pathway that we need a little shrub trimming. The bicycle pass-through has gotten narrower and narrower. Or my bicyclist friends are getting the opposite of narrower and narrower.
Okay. All right, so, and again, this is also, which up there is actually you're replacing that too. And then the next one is Lincoln and Crescent Playground. So that's another playground that we looked at. We can kind of schedule these at how long we think the most important need of the end of life of those parks. So.
Is that the one that was surrounded by the wooded area?
No.
That's
it's
Milton.
Like enough. It's like...
Yeah.
Lincoln and Crescent is at Old Green Bay Road and Lincoln and Crescent. So it's across from the tracks where all our camps drop off.
Where our camp drop-off is, where that one is, so it's not covered. It's not serviced by any area in that area.
On the west side of the
I know where it is.
Next to the ravine.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yeah.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
That's okay.
Right.
And again, what we're looking for these playgrounds is replacement with a similar size playground. Okay, and maybe if drainage is needed, curbs are needed, things like that. We're looking to expand the footprint greatly. It's kind of like what we did at Astor Park. Going in, replacing the same kind of footprint, same kind of playground, and then moving on to the next one. So replacing the like what we already have. So Jefferson and Vernon, as you know, is a playground that failed this year, pieces of out, so we're looking to replace that one. Lakefront Park tennis courts. We're getting a lot of input on the tennis courts this year, especially that one.
Is it all the same two or three people?
You know what? We met with actually a group of tennis players Tuesday, and actually it was a very interesting conversation. They were very productive. But their opinion is that these are tennis players that we don't need that tennis court. They would rather have tennis court be taken out and repurpose that money that you would spend year after year on our other tennis courts. But again, that would be up for public conversation, public meetings. But we think we should make a decision one way or the other on that tennis court, whichever way you want to go. Either take out the tennis courts, make it smaller, or keep them what they are and redo a new surface on it. We did just power wash it. Looks okay, but it's still, you know.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, it makes it, you know, but it's just a matter of time. So it does make a big difference. We're actually power washing three of our courts within the next couple weeks. So, but we think that it's important to make a decision on that and have the debate. So 150 would cover either make a recommendation that Altamadu did, which is make it into two courts, or take it out and put that other mounds and things that figure would cover those the cost of both of those, correct?
Okay.
And both
take
and the
or just replace what's there with the new surface. Is that what you mean by that?
Yeah, we replace. It's like probably making it a little smaller. We don't think we need three courts there.
So what we have there is two doubles and a singles court.
Mm.
So that's so it's two and a half. So it would just be two doubles court.
Two, yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, would that allow for the pickleball markings as a doubles court?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yes, definitely.
So, all right.
And yes, multi-purpose markings.
Okay.
Next. Yes,
sorry,
please.
I know you
want to
go over.
No,
that group on Tuesday talk about the Watts tennis court because that was the other complaint?
Yes, what we talked to them about is, and just so you know, is that this doesn't come out of this budget, comes out of the operationals. What we are doing with Watts and West tennis courses, there are cracks in them, so we're going to be doing crack fill. We did go out to bid for that. We actually did not get any bidders at this time for that, so we're going to go back out. Again, it's probably a timing issue with school starting and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have them power washed also. So it was more about that, about, you know, they didn't understand the timing of that. We do not believe the tennis courts, any of our tennis courts, besides Lakefront, has to be taken all the way down and rebuilt up at this time. Mm-hmm. But they do need crack refill, you know, eventually color coding things, which will come out of the operational budget.
Okay, thank you.
The weeds and the cracks were removed.
Oh, that's good.
And they might be back already. But
can I ask you a question? At one time over the last year or two, there was a discussion about how tennis as a sport, and certainly here, is losing its appeal. If this waxes and wanes, it could come
it
back
does.
Up again.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that was thrown out there was the possibility of maybe not keeping all our tennis courts, but
correct.
Reducing the number of tennis courts that we have online, which certainly would be accomplished, you know, at Lakefront if we got rid of them.
Exactly.
But you know, should we just at least keep that in mind?
We should definitely should when we're having that discussion.
Okay.
That the trend of tennis is that, first of all, for our population, we have more than the national average, probably double what the national average is for our population, for
three times
our 8,000.
Okay. Yes.
So we have a lot of tennis courts in there, and our residents want them kept at a certain level,
yes,
which they should. So it costs a lot of money to keep those maintained at that certain level. So we look at that. Then we look at, you know, like Lakefront, is that really a good place to play tennis with the wind and everything like that? That's why you would have people come in and speak to that, tennis players, because I'm sure there's pros and cons for everyone to make a decision.
And
so,
just give me the rundown of where they all are. Lakefront?
Lakefront, West,
mm-hmm.
Watts, Central.
And Shelton.
Okay,
yes.
So that's a lot. Okay, all right.
Is it?
And they're spread out nicely.
They are spread out nicely, without a doubt. Mm-hmm.
So is it your intention to, the way you're running this meeting, is you want to sort of describe all these things?
I'm going to go through the 18-19, and then we can,
You're looking for input from us if you'd like us to strongly support moving something from one specific year to another.
Mm-hmm.
And right.
Yep. So,
saying, if you want us to let you describe them all,
I probably won't go through all of them. I'll probably go through 18, 19, and then if you want me to describe any other ones,
okay,
I'd be happy to.
And actually, as chair, I will say that the way I conceived of this is for you to be able to kind of go through all, have a few questions, and then we go on to phase two, which is sort of like throw in what we think and how we move
around. Sounds good. So do you just want me to do 18, 19 or all of them? Okay. So then we have Old Elm Park. So that's the one that's on
behind
Take-Up.
Yes.
I guess we say that little neighborhood behind that we went by. And then Take-Up Parking Phase D. It's, if you remember, Phase D is the front lot here. So what that would help us accomplish is finish off the renovation, and not really the phase, but help with some of the traffic and congestion we're having at pickup time. So what will happen is, now that we have the first phase done with adding extra parking lots, we're still going to have a problem with the backing up when we have pickups. So people coming just staging to pick up their child after a class, which happens a lot. Right now, what they do is they stage in front of Take-Up, and the line sometimes goes all the way out to Green Bay Road. And then our driveway ends up being, they can't get by because it's only two lanes. What will happen with Phase D is, if you remember the diagram, it will move the way the parking lot's configured so that we actually can get a dedicated staging lane, and then other cars can, actually two lanes of cars can actually get around those cars to park, which can't happen now. So we think that would be good to do next year to finish off that, to help with the whole parking congestion problem. Not to mention that they take up the front lot's looking really bad, and we're going to have to dump maintenance money into it and then come back a year or two later and then redo the whole thing. And the next one is that's probably one of the biggest things we have on our ADA report, is the parking lot, and it's not up to ADA compliance right now.
Why is that?
It's the steep of grade where they're parking, right?
Well, I think the community center lot is, we said front lot, back lot, that can be a little confusing, the community center lot.
Mm-hmm.
When you exit out the front doors, you can either go left to one parking section and right to the parking section adjacent to the softball field.
Mm-hmm.
That slope is unfortunately a little too much of a slope to be actually ADA compliant right now. So when you're looking at maintenance dollars on a parking lot that's not compliant, That's where you have to start thinking about, when we have this plan in the hopper, is it time to really look at this plan and use those maintenance dollars towards this plan?
So
I'm sorry, when you said front parking lot, you did not mean adjacent to Green Bay Road?
No, it's the community center lot, yeah. So not the ELC lot. That's probably the best way to say it.
Yeah, it was confusing.
Yeah.
It is confusing, yeah.
So Phase D, we already have a Phase A, B, and C that's in this year's budget. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. So A, B, and C, I'm sorry. Can you say?
What we're doing right now is where the old skateboard park.
Okay, what
so
is
that's,
that? A?
That's A, I believe.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then B is the, where, I don't have that with me.
I'm going to call B's, that.
Thank you. B is where the, back by the maintenance area.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
C is not, that is not C. We're not doing C, we're only doing
C's
A and B.
The turnaround, yeah?
Yeah, C is the turnaround between the skate park lot and.
Yeah.
The,
they call that C?
I believe it is, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't bring that. I can go get my little binder.
Okay.
Erin, would you mind going to get my binders on my desk?
It's
take capital projects.
Erin, do you want key? Right?
Pardon?
So
D
is like the main lot, like where
yes.
we just charge over.
The school,
yes.
The ELC area.
No, no,
yeah.
no. No, it's the main lot. It's a community center lot.
Oh, I thought you said D was for.
I thought it's the main lot.
Okay.
Is E and F one of the ELCs?
No, we are. There is actually nothing we're doing for the ELC lot. That one is actually fine. Working very fine.
So
at times,
there's never
not in the camp in the morning,
like,
but there's eventually that what will help that problem is if we take parking along the back, you know, and bring around the front.
Okay.
But there's no way to enlarge that lot at all.
Okay.
That's landlocked.
That
yeah, there's no way to.
Hopefully the other, like you said, if they're in the back, maybe you change some of the drop off.
Right.
And do that because mm-hmm. that parking lot is like it. I
in the morning for camp. It's
yeah.
it's
and for school.
Yeah. It's the we do drop the ELC program does drop off where the teachers stand out in front and
mm-hmm.
quickly move the kids. GJK does that at the park and go in, which is a little more cumbersome.
Right.
Causes some of the backgrounds.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. So half $455,000. Just to recap, because this is. Freaking me out. $455,000 to improve the pathway of cars that are in the waiting line to pick up their kids.
And ADA accessible. So it's this one. No, phase C was the baseball field and backstop. That's what I kind of thought.
Yeah.
So it's this parking lot right here. I'll have it if he brings it up.
I'm gonna call it up here.
You got it? It's this one right here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what it does is it changes, takes this whole loop out, brings people in, stages it. Oh, you have it?
Lisa, we discussed that in the May special projects meeting, correct?
Yeah, well,
sounds right.
I
think we did. I think it really was.
It's either March or April, actually.
Yeah, it was the one right before I got sworn in.
Yeah, it's probably.
So it was May?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
We've talked about it a couple times.
Oh boy.
Lisa, I have a question.
Yes. Yes.
This would be sort of for Carol.
Yes.
Could we spend our ADA money that's in a separate fund for that parking lot improvement?
Each year you'll notice at the top,
mm-hmm.
annual ADA money, special recreation fund, $125,000 is what we're targeting, and it can be used to any project we want to with the approval of the NSSRA board.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a yes?
So, that's a portion of it. Can't pay for the whole project, but it'd be a portion.
We have to pay for our NSSRA contribution and all the companion fees, so it really is a matter of it could be 75 one year, it could be 150 one year.
Yeah. And then we just don't have it to spend on other things like ADA compliance and a playground and everything else. So it's really almost.
So it would not pay for the whole playground.
It's a, I guess, yeah.
It should definitely actually be spent.
Our tax rate is only 4 cents. So depending on what happens to the tax rate and how high our contribution or companion fee services go, that money would be less than that if there was more.
So we can
be going towards that.
We can spend $125,000 a year. So it can't pay for the whole thing,
total.
But it can pay.
There
could be a contribution
left over from the other requirements we have. Yeah.
That would be available.
So that's that front parking lot. I don't know if he found it yet. So it's right here. If you
another quick question: do you think we'll get any additional spaces? We will get additional stacking, but additional spaces with the redo?
No,
I think we're
going to
get fewer.
No.
Right.
I don't know if we get. Let's see.
I thought they put that in there.
Phase D. It would not be to add spaces. It would be to be ADA compliance and flow better. So let's see. I don't believe so.
Can you just say like, what if we just made it ADA compliant? How much that would be?
No, you would have to do this whole parking lot.
Okay.
You'd have to do, yeah, because it changes the whole slope and everything. You'd have to reconfigure it all. And that's, I have to tell you, that's the highest number. They're recommending for total phase D center parking lot is about 342, plus with the design fees, that's in there. So that's on the high side.
But that does not include reconfiguring the line, the cars
it does.
Coming
it
in.
Doesn't it? It does. Okay. That is phase D. It does include that.
All right.
It doesn't mean widening it
from
the street. That would be a lot more.
It's just marking.
Your head should be right in the middle of this next image, so we'll be parking cars on you.
Oh, okay.
Just, well, let's see if it works first. Don't get too excited.
It's going to work.
Yeah, well, okay. Just fall asleep
on us.
You want to open up?
And that's with a contingency. So we're talking if it's about 10%.
Yeah, Chris, you say there's like 30,000 to redo the concrete pad with all that.
Yeah, concrete pad in front.
The discussion was, I don't know if you guys have seen the plaza area when
there
you come in,
mm-hmm.
the front of the building with
mm-hmm.
all the broken concrete. Mm-hmm. There's an allowance for that as well.
Mm-hmm. So that's what brought it up a little bit more.
Direct, do we have a pointer or do you want me to get up?
You'd have to get up.
Okay. So the phase D, so this is an earlier mock-up, so just ignore the parking numbers up at the top. So phase D is this area here. So what that calls for is adjusting the existing bioswale to give us a larger pass-through lane here as you can come in. In addition, it looks at this plaza area here. It also addresses the fact that we've got no sidewalk connecting Green Bay Road to the front of the building. So this plan calls for restacking the parking. I believe phase D, the number is up there on how many parking spaces we've got. I think it's a zero.
I thought you lost one.
I thought there was a net loss.
Looking at really just adjusting the streamlined flow. But what we found is that the bioswale that we have here, which this is the imprint of the bioswale, really isn't working so well. It's really water's passing through it right into the storm drains here anyway. So we have this very awkward shape with people also cut through.
Yeah.
I would venture
mm-hmm.
to say everyone here has probably walked
yep.
through it at some point or another.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at that can really affect the way the parking lot flows. So also to correct the ADA, this portion of the lot changes. Right now it's sloped quite a bit. We'll have to look at that as well. So.
Chris, you got the new parking lot would have 39 spaces, the current one 42. So a loss of 3 spots.
But we're gaining
other places.
We're gaining a bunch more.
Yes, and we're also gaining the drop-off capacity.
Yeah.
And
the ability to stay.
Connecting the street.
Yeah.
Right.
So what would happen is then, we're not expanding this roadway at all. This is not expanding. So it's only one car, one car out, but now we can stage from here all the way through, where right now they stage here, no car can get around them. So that's where you get the backup. So these people in this line may not even be waiting for kids here, but they can't get in it. So what happens is cars go like this and go right in, which is really dangerous.
Yeah.
So this way we'll get them to stage this way, even possibly going down there if we need to for camp, but people can get in and out into their spots to go to class or the fitness area or whatever.
Wait, so you're saying if there's a line of cars. Mm-hmm.
So right now they can't, right now if they park and they're waiting for people to stay here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're blocking all this traffic. So if you have a car here, no one can get around it. By taking out this whole thing, cars can now get around here. So this will be staged right here.
So this solid line is what's there now.
That's existing.
That'll be
going
away.
That would go away.
Yes.
Okay, I
get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Lisa, could you please just briefly go, because we're sort of looking 3 years in front of things. Can you briefly just run through the 1920?
Sure. Okay, so the next one, 1920, would
can
be
I
Lake.
Can I shut this off?
You can. Would be Lakefront Park Playground. As you know, that's that playground's in pretty bad shape, but we did separate it out from the tennis courts because we think it has longer lifespan than the other two. Woodlawn Park Playground, as you remember, that's the larger one off of Green Bay. The Secret Garden Park / Women's Library Club, that is that park right by Ryder's Theater. As you know, the village has been doing their downtown tune-up meetings for the last couple years. They're now going to start a two-door court meeting this year to about revitalizing the downtown. We had this on our list regardless, but we thought that in 1920 to correspond with whatever the village is doing down there to clean up this area. As you know, the retaining walls in that area are starting to collapse and need work on this one. And that would also help with the pathways through there. The wildflower sanctuary, obviously this is not a complete redo, but tell them what would you do with that $50,000?
So one of the things that we've looked at is really starting to manage that area a little bit more aggressively and identifying the fact that what it needs is probably a little bit outside of the scope of what we can provide in-house, just manpower-wise. So I've been meeting with a couple of different restorative contractors, and this would be really looking to go in there, go through, remove whatever invasives we can, and prepare it for a controlled burn. So that's preparing it, possibly burning it in the spring, maybe even the fall, or just going in there once and doing a cull in the spring, coming through, doing another cull in the fall, and doing a burn. So the more that material that doesn't belong in there that we can get out, the more effective our controlled burn is going to be. So we have actually burned this area before, but it's been about a decade since it was done, if not longer. So it's overdue. And I'd like to look at a few other things in there at the same time, address some signage issues, really kind of figure it out as a trail system.
Pretty much clean it up, yeah. But not
it's
a total
kind of a mess.
Yeah. Next one is Milton Park. That's that small park off of Dundee Road. Mm-hmm. And the price tag's that way because, as you recall, there's a walking path through there that has to be done. That's asphalt. And then in 2021, we had to turn around and do Takeoff Center Playground again. That is a very heavily used playground here attached to this building for ELC, Children's Circle, and GJK. So that will need, again, a wood structure. Friends Park, Phase 2. This is one, I know, believe it or not, this was
phase
just
two?
Done, right? Phase 2, which what that means is that we're going to have to go back and look at this park. It's our heavily used park. And some of the pieces of equipment in there are already failing, as is the poured-in-place surface. So it may be looking at the poured-in-place surface, look at some of those pieces of equipment that weren't a good choice for that playground, maybe look at a fence around there, so cleaning up that playground because it's such a high-profile park.
What is failing?
You know those spring toys?
Yeah.
We actually just took those out. They failed for the third time.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. What happens is
big boys and girls.
Junior high gets on them and they
really go to town.
They just rock on them. We took out another piece of equipment.
But it's so much.
The dollar figure is also attached to taking a look at the board in place surface.
Yeah.
We're starting to see some delamination around some of the high traffic areas. I mean, again, it's not unnatural to have to spend a little bit of time at these types of sites. I mean, this is a very, very heavily used playground, and this is really just a placeholder for knowing that this is a playground that's closer to a 10 to 12-year life cycle than a 15 to 18-year life cycle.
Because of the use.
So the ones you took out are, like, in the front, then?
Correct, along the sandbox there. So if
that's, like, a big area, but with nothing there.
Correct. We also removed the rocking cross 2 years ago as well, just because it was a year old and was already worn out. I mean, these playground equipment, some of these pieces of equipment are wearing out. We're not, you know, talking, there is a little bit of misuse, but there's a lot of wear and tear on that park.
Oh, so that's why we're looking at that one.
That's a long time to wait for that little area, though. I think we're going to get calls on that.
Well, the point of taking the spring toys out is because this is the third time in 2 years that they've been damaged. So they're getting damaged from misuse, not from overuse. So if you put, say, a 6th or 7th grader on a piece of equipment designed for a 3-year-old, they're going to break it. And that's where we're at now.
Right.
So, I mean, that's definitely something that we could look at, Lisa, but, you know, it would have to be evaluated.
Well, other than the damage stuff, the heavy usage stuff, that's actually a pretty happy story.
It is a great story.
Happy to spend
right. the money on. And we're not talking the major piece of equipment that's there. That's going to last a lot longer. We're talking about the port in place and some of those other pieces of equipment.
But the port in place, is that's the surface. That's most
the rubberized surface.
Yes.
Right, that's why it has such a high price tag on it. And it hasn't failed yet, but we anticipate by 2021 we'll have to replace it.
I've been around when we waited for things to fail before we fixed them. I really like this approach of staying ahead of things. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, that's what we were trying
especially
to.
Especially at that park, because that's
our high-profile park.
Profile, yeah.
But if we keep that at 2020, like you say, some of those pieces, it looks like someone's mouth and a main tooth has been pulled or something. You know, we may need to split that up, replace the surface when it fails in 2 or 3 years, but maybe start dealing with the missed equipment earlier.
We can look at some other. We're not going to recommend putting spring toys back in there because the same thing's going to happen again.
Because it's something else that's for that age range. Mm-hmm. Because there's not as much for the younger age range mm-hmm. there, and the young kids really use them.
Right. So we can look at something other than that. So maybe we take, maybe we mm-hmm. say, how much are those if to replace something like that, not a spring toy?
Just
give me a ballpark.
Put something in that area, you'd probably look at 50 to 25.
So we could easily incorporate that. We could say, okay, write on the piece of paper, we want to replace the spring toys for $20,000 and put that in 18, 19 for next year.
Right. Okay.
And then we put in, because in 2021 is when our bonds can be, Carol can speak on that, can be.
Yeah, our bonds retire, our lots issue retires. So in effect, we have no levy from that bond issue to pay off. So if we didn't reissue, we would see a definite decrease in our tax rate. But that's typically a good time to do the reissue because you want to maintain a consistency. Mm-hmm. People are less likely to, like, if you're going to need the money, they like the consistency. You just do another bond issue. Right now, we could, I think it was probably around $3 million, $2.5 to $3 million. Again, it depends on the circumstances at the time, as far as what type of interest rate we would get. But it's kind of a placeholder right now to kind of know, hey, the watch debt drops off in that time period, and that would be the time that we would want to replace it.
And the maintenance garage might be a good way to spend that.
That's not the sexy thing to do,
and they don't want to do it, but you've seen our maintenance area. It's not efficient. We would like to get more efficient, effective area to use, and something that's not as unsightly to the neighbors. So.
But the other really big, you know, comparable sort of issue is bluff stabilization.
Exactly.
So that is.
And again, we don't have to make, you know, we don't have to say we're going to spend the money right now on which one. We just put it as a placeholder now.
Right.
And
right.
Again, that one will be 3 years out, a lot of discussion.
So give me some reassurance that we have things in the right priority here. When I see the $1 million for the Lakefront Master Plan posted up there chronologically after two other Lakefront projects, the tennis court project and then the playground project, I wonder why those wouldn't be part of an overall master plan. And I get it, when we talked with Altima New and got some of their first draft ideas on Lakefront Park, we realized that this was more than our typical $250,000 annual various park investments. This did warrant a master plan and a serious reconceptualization. With that being put off till then, how do we know whatever we're doing on the tennis court sites is going to fit in with ultimately what we're looking to do at the park?
So, well, the master plan has been put forward to you saying either take out the tennis courts or redo the tennis courts. So that, if you wait 3 or 4 years, those are going to fail. I don't think we have the $1 million, $2 million to do Lakefront Park, the whole master plan project like you said.
That's the only confusion then. You're saying Lakefront Park Master Plan, that would be phase three of it, because phase one is the tennis courts, phase two is the playground.
Right.
This would be phase three of it.
That would be phase three.
So I'm going to look at this a little bit different conceptually.
Yes, exactly. That would be like phase three, right. So we're replacing what we currently have at Lakefront Park is what we're suggesting. If not, they're going to fail and we have to take them out. There'll be nothing.
Before we get to what we're now calling phase three, I would have to see what some engineers felt about the stability of the bluff and the impact on the Safford Beach House.
Well, exactly. That's why we're doing, as you know, the bluff geotech. Yeah. So that's why that is later. That's why we're not suggesting that. But at the same time, if we don't address the Lakefront Playground, if you say, oh, we're going to wait till we do the master plan, then we just need to know that, because then when that playground fails, we'll just take it out and plan to put nothing back in. And if you want to do that, that's fine, but just know that's what it means. When the tennis courts fail,
well, I would just like as we have a discussion as Special Projects Committee on the tennis court, it would be nice to digress just a little bit at that discussion about and looking at the overall footprint of the park so we can mm-hmm. revisualize what Altima New had proposed mm-hmm. and what our own personal visions are.
Yep. Exactly.
To see how we do want to address that, even informally in our own minds, what our personal things are.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to any of it. I just want to keep in mind that we have to look at a little bit bigger picture on each of these components.
Without a doubt. It would say, okay, this is, we're going to adopt this master plan, but this will be phase one, phase two, and then as the other components can be phased in also.
It'd be nice to get this tennis court issue out of the way if the residents would see, because that's going to be the most controversial.
Yes,
probably.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to see what the input is, and then we know for the future, so we're not guessing about it.
Right.
I do think it's helpful to phase it. Obviously, that's going to make it easier to bite off, but we also are sort of locking ourselves into a decision, right? If we say we're going to maintain the tennis courts, whether two or three, then we're certainly, or at least I don't think we're going to come back 3 years later and say, okay, we're not having tennis courts anymore. And
we're locking ourselves in.
No, you are locking
that's
in.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
You are. Yes.
Go ahead.
We can't use those tennis court sites for a lot of things, though, can we? And we can't, there's tanks under there. Right?
I mean, yes, it's either a tennis court or it can be the mounds, the mounded hills that Altamanu recommended, but there is no other really, we wouldn't recommend any other hardscape.
You can't
there.
Put, like dirt on top of it or a hardscape?
You, from what Altamanu recommended, if you remember, I don't have that plan in front of me, they did the moundings.
Uh-huh.
You can do that, and they recommend, remember, styrofoam in there, so it's lighter weight. So they have checked with the village.
So it becomes a play area.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Rather than a tennis court or even lawn area.
Yeah,
correct. Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting.
And you can come and say, well, and you can come back and say,
it could
we
be
just,
lawn.
We just want it lawn.
It could be lawn and picnic table.
Well,
right.
No, that it could be lawn though.
Yeah,
yes, it can. Yeah. It could be lawn.
You told me the other day you couldn't pave it over.
Well, we can't.
Because
pave it
because of the water being trapped and.
We can't
sort of
pave
thing.
It.
Yeah.
Right.
But if but you could put grass on it and then
yes.
have. The air go through the way it's supposed
yes.
to, and not
yes.
pollute the water and all that good stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Have you
Altamanu,
been to see any of those tanks or anything?
Altamanu knows that there's
inside,
tanks underneath.
Have you been in that trap door?
We did. We worked with when we got first started on the project. You know, we wanted to make sure that we were upfront with the village, so we've been partnering with them every step of the way. So we've done core samples. We know what's between the village's water tank and the top of our tennis court. That's something that we've shared with the village. We've worked together.
What is it?
The current tennis courts, you have the carpet, and then you have the asphalt tennis courts that were underneath that. Then you have gravel, then you have asphalt, then you have green asphalt, then you have asphalt, and then you have the tanks.
Oh my God.
So the green asphalt is your warning barrier. So if you're digging and you hit the green asphalt, you know you're close to the tank. Hey, so there's no seawater. So the reason that we did that is because, you know, it's easy to look at a print and say, oh, well, you've got 25 inches of material between the top of the tank. We can't put playground footings in there.
Right.
We can't plant large trees.
Right.
I mean, it's all dictated by what's there with the tank. So what we have there, that weight that's on top of those tanks now, is similar weight to what you would have. We can't put a 30 or 40 foot tall berm of dirt out there to put a sled hill on.
Yeah.
But that was the whole point of the mounds, was that by you would put foam on top of the tanks and then put soil on top of the mounds and then grow grass. So you'd have terrain features without the weight of the terrain.
Right.
So that was their recommendation, to give it a little bit of a different pop. But we could all just put lawn on top of it.
We could just put lawn off.
The matter is, if we really like these terrain features, the serpent or whatever you want to call it, that could be done elsewhere in the park.
Yeah.
If we really like
right.
that, we could retain a tennis court or a tennis court, a multi-purpose court, whatever, and still incorporate a run and play serpent in the park.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And I really like that, because one of the things I've been thinking about is we've got to address all the demographics. If we take something that people from age 5 to 95 use and we replace it with something that kids from 2 to 7 use, you know, is that really our intention? But what you're saying, I love the idea. That doesn't mean we can't do that serpent with the styrofoam. We could do it elsewhere in the park as a means of bringing people into the park. And maybe relook at two tennis courts instead of three and converting them to pickleball as an option. If that's something people would use. I really don't know. I don't play pickleball.
Right, and that's
I hear about it a lot.
Right. What we're saying is have that discussion. We don't have to have the discussion today. We don't have to make a decision today. We're saying have that discussion. Either, you know, decide you're going to be in the tennis court business and let's make them nice, or get out of the tennis court business at Lakefront and then you repurpose for another use, but just to have that discussion.
Okay, Lisa, two things that I'm not seeing on here. One is, I even hate to even bring it up, but dog park. I know
it's right down there.
Oh, it's down.
I ran out of room. Donation
oh,
to
it's down
determined.
There.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
That's the forgotten child.
Oh, that's
there.
Okay. Only because, I see it constantly on everything, and it just gets kicked down.
It keeps on.
A good reason, kicked down to the next year. So that would be one, and then the skate park had lost its priority position,
yes.
And we've moved that down
to later.
I just thought I'd just, you know.
Yeah, I haven't. We took that out because, you know, when we took it out, I've only gotten two or three calls right when we took it out. I haven't gotten any this year. I thought maybe as the summer went on, they're like, where is it? And we have not. So we found the trend right now. Now, this will probably change in 7 years. So by coming back and saying we need a skate park now, those longboards, which aren't conducive to a skate park. In addition, what our skate park was used more for, actually skateboards, but also like bikes and scooters, which really aren't the safe. Those aren't supposed to be used on those surfaces. So if you want something for bikes or scooters, we should really look at something else besides a skate park. Right now, we don't see a big demand for that compared to the other playgrounds that we have. Not to say we won't need it in a couple of years. Maybe we'll find a creative place to put it, but that's up to the board to decide if that's a priority or not.
Stephanie?
I think I forgot one of my questions.
Uh-oh.
Well, yeah, I had two. One was, are you getting calls for anything else that we should know about when we're considering this plan, about any other facilities or complaints or comments? And then two, there's really not much on here for like teenage age. I feel like there's some for older people, some for the, you know, a lot for the younger, and maybe that only thing was that skate park. And is there something more?
Well, I think we're
opportunity for that.
We're putting in a fitness area, and that's going to be a big draw to the teenage population. What we would look at is replacing our assets that we have now, not adding new amenities. So we really did not address that.
Are there any other things that people are calling about?
No, tennis courts, about the conditions are tennis courts, and again, those are more maintenance issues.
Okay.
Dog park, I get calls probably at least three times a month. We just don't have a location. And we had a donor, but we don't have a location.
Steve?
I had asked some people to contact you. I've had some requests, just two in the last month, asking where people can go to find a lacrosse net in our park system.
Oh, we were going to put one up.
Yeah.
So, Mike, you want to tell them where we're putting a lacrosse net?
You had not heard from these other folks. These are new people to town coming from out east.
Maybe we had a call, so we're addressing it.
They're new people from town, and I thought, you know what, this is pretty appropriate. It's not a big investment. It's a pretty appropriate thing in a town that has a lot of kids interested in Ivy League type sports.
So, exactly. So, it's not an expensive item, so I approved it out of my fund.
I think they might be here now. I've heard them last week, so they'll be here. And soon.
And where are we putting them?
We're going to put them in Sunken Park along Old Green Bay.
In where?
Sunken Park.
So okay. The one where it used to have that bad stop?
We'll get word out on that.
We'll see them.
Yeah,
and then we'll put them on our website.
As an amenity on the website.
In our social media platforms.
And if you can figure out who made that phone call, they probably have some followers.
Well, we did already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I received an email from a resident. So
okay.
I brought it to Lisa and said go, so yeah, go on.
Good.
And here
that was a really easy one.
Promoting some asset, you've got your ways.
That was a really easy one. It's
ways,
not. It's not
it
a really.
No brainer, really.
No brainer.
It's kind of an oversight.
Mike came to me, and I'm like, oh, definitely. That's not a big.
We don't anticipate any problems with regenerating that area for play.
Yes, you might get a little complaints from those neighbors, but again, it's a park. It's
right.
You know.
That's why we picked that area, though. That he originally asked if we could get one at Central Park, and we were worried about balls flying all over the place.
Sure.
So that's kind of an underutilized area where, you know, the activity won't interfere with other activity.
Good.
They live in Greenwood.
Okay. So here we are. Yeah.
So now it turns over. I think we turned lights back up. Right? If you would like to talk about other priorities that you would have, if you want to move these around, we're open to that. If you move something and we think that we'll get a lot of value comments, we'll tell you that, so that you're aware of that, but this is where we throw it to you. And
well, obviously things could be changed by circumstances beyond our control. The wonderful possibilities of financial support for some specific
facility,
or by a failure or of something. Things could change, and we've all seen that. This is constantly...
What we are going to do this year, the next year, is we're going to put in a line item, just like big park replacement. So if something, if say one of those, Woodlawn or Milton or something would fail, we would have money in there so we don't have to come back and do a budget adjustment, which is really hard. So we'll put a contingency line just in every budget to say, as long as we have money in that fund, to say playground replacement should one fail unexpectedly, which is very possible. So
that could be used for, excuse me,
yes.
So that could be used for Prince Park.
We would use it just for emergencies, if something, a big fund. But I would recommend, if you would like us to allocate $25,000 for equipment at Friends Park, that just, we could just write it on that little piece of paper and we'll put it in 1819 and say we'll allocate just $25,000 for that. I'm talking about that we might put like $250,000 in the account as just a placeholder, and if we don't use it, we won't use it, and we'll wait for the project to come up if it's a year. But it's, say, should Milton fail or something fail, one of those parks, playgrounds fail, I should say, we'll get a lot of negative complaints if we don't put it right back in, then we'll have the flexibility to do so.
Typically, we find playgrounds don't typically have a failure in August. They typically, you come out of the winter, you do your spring inspection, you find that something has not wintered well. So that's putting you in March and April, which is giving you enough time to actually organize a project, have community input, and you're not just rushing something in at the end of the season. So that would give us a little bit of flexibility there, where with Jefferson and Vernon this year, it came up at the beginning of the season, and we've had to make some adjustments because of that.
It's a good idea.
So the question I'd like to pose, does anybody have specific feelings that we should be moving things between years? Is there anything that people feel should be extended to a year going forward or moved forward? Go ahead.
I think a lot of you know I care a lot about natural areas and trails, and I take as my kind of lodestar this survey that the park district did as the part of the master plan. And question 17 in there was the respondent level of support for the GPD to improve the parks and recreation system. And number one thing by far was preserve open space and natural areas. The number two thing was develop new multi-purpose trails and connect existing trails. Which is not to say that everything we do isn't important, but I frankly don't see that, you know, that's a very high priority in that survey, and I just don't see that represented the way we're spending our money. So, for example, I would suggest the linear old Green Bay thing, wherever that went. I don't know if 300 is enough, but it doesn't have to be that specific thing, but it's very clear to me that that's a priority for the voters. Mm-hmm. I also would point out, although I'm not picking on this thing in particular, that we just spent $700,000 on parking lots. So I would ask whether it's appropriate to go spend nearly $1.2 million on parking lots, you know, including phase D, without addressing those high priorities that the residents have.
Steve?
I wanted to follow up on what Josh just said. I know before I leave Glencoe, I'm going to see some cohesive plan for our linear parks. I absolutely love the open space. I like being able to go to any corner of Glencoe and being able to just hang out on Park District property without it having a specific purpose. That's part of the tranquility of Glencoe's many undeveloped parks. And at the same time, without cluttering our old Green Bay linear park system, and in my mind that really goes from Maple Hill near where the camp drop-off is now, all the way down to the south end of the Shelton Park system. All that stuff that's accessible by either the Green Bay Road Trail or by the linear parks themselves, in my mind I see a vision for an unobtrusive, a non-cluttered health and fitness and contemplative trail system. You know, some fitness things, a bench, just some things that we can maintain, But that is an area that would speak to the trail system and the openness of the parks at the same time, I think, without a complication.
Yeah, and I will say that I noticed in previous years, old Green Bay linear parks were sort of looked at for 1819. Now we've moved them, boom, 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 and I think a big reason is the money we're needing to invest in the parking lots, which is, it is, it's a big sigh. Except that we have ADA issues and we have people bumping into each other coming in and out of the parking lot.
And we finally got this building being used.
I know, so I'm like, I don't know.
And we're continuing to grow it. We have a thankful problem.
Yeah, yeah. But to your point, everything you say is right. I mean, that is a priority. It has been a priority. And we're addressing it a little bit with parking lot phase one, where we're making this nice kind of path around Reinsdorf. That's a little something. And I think we can make that really great. I do. But, you know, we're sacrificing something by moving that down to the distant future, to the point where we're not planning for it. And I think it would require a plan. And we don't have one.
Or we could switch something. Like we said, we don't know if those three playgrounds are going to fail next year. They're on here. It doesn't mean they're all in horrible shape, right?
But these are the wood structures.
One's already gone.
Yeah,
well,
so Lincoln.
We know the Vernon and Jefferson. We know that one's gone, and we know we've gotten complaints. So that one.
What was
the other?
I would estimate that we will see, other than the Take a Center playground, we'll see a significant change in our wooden playground system within 3 years. So I'm not going to be an alarmist, but at the same time, I think it's realistic to think that we have to look at 3 to 5 years out on all of our wood playgrounds.
If that.
For what it's worth, I mean, if you're going to do an old Green Bay linear parks thing, it would make sense to do it in conjunction with the Lincoln and Crescent playground, right? Because they're right next to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's a separate footprint, so it's really not going out. So you could easily do that playground without doing.
You could.
That.
No,
you
I
could, but it would be nice to be.
Yeah, it would be nice to do it all at once. Yes.
That'd be fun to get some community input on the new community pathway or linear park or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, remember to talk to some of our friends at the village. About the areas that are suffering on the Green Bay Trail. Some of with the rains we've had, some of those areas don't come back safely.
Like they're muddy and stuff.
Muddy. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a village issue, but that's not.
That's part of our trail system here.
Yeah.
Carol, did you just total up 2018-19? What have we got up there?
Do you want me to move the linear system?
$3.5 million.
Oh, no, I'm just looking at 2018-19. And it's the, okay, wait, so
it's on, it's
1.335. Okay,
right.
All right.
So if you move this in or whatever.
Yeah, I just was looking at this, okay. And yeah, okay.
I mean.
What's the ending balance after the 18-19 projects in the reserve?
It's 1,421.
We're going into the new year at 1.6.
That's this new year, right?
Going into next new fiscal year, you're starting with a 1.6. That's meaning all the projects that are on this one are taken from the 17-18 year.
So after the, as listed to a 2018-19 projects, if we do all those, what would be the ending balance?
Right there, 1,421.
That's what I thought. So we have 1,421.
Okay, that's not counting that 125,000.
Yes, it is. All the money at the top is incoming.
Is
incoming.
So you say you can't. If that's in the 1.3.
Yeah.
No, 1.3 are expenditures only.
Right.
So you got revenues coming in, which includes all the carryover balance. That you come to the 2.7, I believe it is. You take out the 1.35 in total project monies, and you're left with 1.4.
So that 1,125,000 is in that 1.4.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the 1.3.
Right, but it's in the spend the money, so it would come out of that.
Yes.
Well, I support this as I see it up here. I just wanted to try to renew some interest for discussion purposes over the next year or so on possibilities for Old Linear Park when we don't have full agendas.
So how about we do this?
I've been
90s, yes, after all the trouble, Lisa.
I know, really. And if you want it, if this is still working, you move this one here.
While you're doing that, I would move another one out and maybe move up Woodlawn and put it in that place and then move. Take up that 400,000, which will help with the linear parks because it's a bigger number.
Move that here?
Yeah. And then maybe take out another, like Old Elm or something.
We can't take that out because that we deferred that from this year. Remember, yeah. Stephanie, it was Astor or Old Elm, and we had to decide between the two, so it's kind of...
So we also deferred Lakefront Park, so we had intended to replace three playgrounds this year, and we did two.
Yeah. And the other reason I'm saying Woodlawn is because it's a bigger impact and more residents would use it, and it's right when you come into Glencoe, and we've been saying that's more high profile, it's a bigger footprint. I think it would get greater community use, kind of like Friends and Shelton, if we wanted to stay away from the pocket parks for a year or so. Just so
I don't oppose the Woodlawn Park moving up. I would suggest, in addition, though, Lisa, I would swap Take of Parking D and Old Green Bay Linear, because I just think if we're spending $700,000 on parking, we ought to take a breather and see how that works before we commit to spending another $500,000.
My concern with that is I don't think I'm foolishly optimistic over the impending success of our fitness center. And I think we need to finish maximizing what we can on this footprint for both parking and traffic flow. And it's my understanding that phase D is really to help with traffic.
Traffic and ADA.
And ADA. So while that's a staggering amount for a bunch of asphalt and grading, a frustrating amount, I still think that this building is finally seeing the success and use. We had all hoped for it, and we're going to see it continue to grow. And we don't want to continue having bottlenecks that we could have alleviated when there's kids in parking lots.
Well, I appreciate the sentiment in what you're saying, and so I totally respect that opinion. I just feel like given what the residents have said in the survey was a high priority for them, I would suggest that we would just swap those around, see how the parking looks after we've been able to see the impact of the 700 grand that we're spending this year.
Is there a compromise where we can break the linear parks into the planning phase and the execution phase so that we look at the master planning of that first and the design sort of a comprehensive plan for what are we don't even know what we will do with it. I don't think we know.
Yeah.
And sort and move that up in priority instead of, you know, do the whole project, but really start with, allow us to really digest what we want to do and give us time to plan. And we
think
the planning
phenomenal group of parks. And it would be nice to get it developed properly.
Yeah.
To take care of our strollers or the bird watchers as well as the more aggressive fitness buffs. I don't know any of those people, but I've heard they're out there.
The aggressive fitness buffs?
Oh my God, it sounds like a disease.
So maybe between moving up that planning phase and perhaps phase D of the parking lot that's maybe an overestimate of how much it's going to be, maybe we could balance those two out. And then
it's hard to say like what the right ending balance down here at the bottom is. Like we could theoretically go all the way to zero, right?
Not while I'm still breathing.
Carol, how do you feel about that?
Yes.
Thank you.
We also have to remember that if something fails, when you look at our surveys, yes, people want walking trails. I think that's really high up there. But in those questions, you didn't say if
You have a choice.
If a playground fails, would you want the playground replaced, or would you want a linear? So that's the hard thing when you look at that. I agree that, and I'm excited to do this. I think this is going to be a great project. I want to do it the right way. I'm kind of hesitant. This is only for trails. It's not for fitness equipment. This is just putting a little trail through it. Things like that. So we probably need more money.
We can raise money.
Really,
I know we can raise money for that.
Yeah.
I've raised a lot. I've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for stuff on the Green Bay Trail already.
We plan that.
Really?
So that we have something to fundraise. Just like now we have a master plan for Lakefront Park. We have something to go out to the residents to say, hey, we want to fundraise. If we do the planning, then we could go out and say, here's something to do for the fundraising for that part. Because I love that idea. I just think people in our town, if we don't replace what we have, then you'll have to answer to that. You know,
I think it's irresponsible to have parks that are not at their optimum of their safety.
Right.
All the time.
That's our worry. Before we had something new, which is this is something new, I think we saw the reaction when this playground went down. You know, we saw that, and you felt the heat. I mean, there's we haven't talked about Milton Park. That playground was put in because the playground moved from here to there for just because they want to use it. Do we need a playground there? Is that one that you could take out and just replace the walking trail? I mean that's a possibility too down the line. If you know, maybe you don't need Milton Park. Maybe you're okay to lose that one. Maybe we should put that the 3 year so we have more money. You know.
If Dudley, you wanted it. Yeah.
The secret garden. There's a pathway in there, isn't there?
There is.
There's
would we want to even continue that? I was there over the weekend, and you know, it wasn't much different walking in there than it was walking along the sidewalk. I know the village has got some improvements they want to do at the end. Maybe we could bump that a year till we find out what the village is planning on doing.
Well, that's what I think why I said it. They're starting their tour court planning next month, or this month or next month. So they're going to plan during this year, and I think they're going to execute this year. So that's why that was placed there.
Okay.
So that we can execute at the same time. And what that looks like, we don't know, because originally we thought it would be nice to do a pathway, because we think it is different than just walking down Green Bay Road right next to the thing. It gets you into the trees and kind of people. Obviously, they like walking that way. They made their man-made trail, right, or their own trail that we actually end up putting gravel down. So that's why that's there. Now, if the village is moving slower and they're not ready to do it next year, then we move it over and say, oh, you're not ready. We're not going to do that one until you decide what you're going to do there.
I would think Secret Garden Library Club project lends itself perfectly to private donations and Writers Theater. That it could be, much as we worked with the school system for West Playground, we could work with the village, private donors, Writers Theater, to make something really special that connects the natural world with, you know, poetry or literature or something.
Then,
yeah.
So then you say, okay, yeah, we don't want to spend our money on this. We're going to move this to later until we get a donation. You can
maybe
say that.
We need to really have a plan for that
I would say that we need to keep those retaining walls in the back of our mind, and more than 3 years is out of the back of our mind. So whether or not we go through and re-landscape the park and we connect the train parking lot to Writers Theater and all the different ideas that are out there, those retaining walls, those have to stay on the front burner within the next 3 years.
So maybe this changes to
maybe just the master plan
wall.
Next year?
One?
Maybe just the master plan next year for the site?
I don't know if we have to.
Just do the retaining wall.
Or just say retaining wall, and that would have to be donations.
I like that idea.
Is the retaining wall all purchaser property or some village?
It's all ours.
Just say retaining wall.
So all that on the side of that street, that's all ours.
Yes.
Okay. What's the amount on that?
On what?
The retaining walls?
$150,000.
Oh, so
what?
Of the retaining wall?
Wow. So that's all it is. Never mind. It's just retaining
wall. You can put that in your
So when we look at the 200, initially, like we talked about, retaining the existing infrastructure, there was some discussion about linking it and that type of thing. It wasn't necessarily for a whole park renovation and improvement.
Yes.
So again, maintaining what we have. Those are the cost estimates that I provided are again about maintaining what we have.
So this is really just a retaining wall. It's not a pathway. It's nothing else but the retaining wall for 150 maybe.
All right.
Right, so that really changes.
That's not fun, right?
No.
No.
It sidewalk.
Sorry. We are doing that. We are
living
doing
this part of the world.
We are doing trail on check and take it because it's there, which will be a great asset.
You know, it comes
in. Really lovely.
That's a great trail.
It'll be fantastic.
Kids will be playing soccer or baseball. That's going to be one of the most used trails in our system.
People can walk on it and then go
Or walk on it.
It deserves it.
They're playing. It's going to be great. So that deserves a play.
The sidewalk on this side of the street.
Yeah, you got it.
So, well, we don't. We could we could take one of these out and just put a placeholder that the emergency one, if one fails, and then move it out. Or you could say, you know what, if one fails, we're not going to put it back in. I mean, you know.
I'd like to try taking Milton out and see how the residents feel. Like, is there a way to do that to...
We did that with our skateboard park. We took it out and then let's see what the response was going to be. Waited a year.
But we could keep the swinging bench. That's kind of
we
a sweet thing.
We could
totally
repair the trail.
Yeah.
We could repair the trail and just keep the bench in there. And then, you know, so when that fails, you make a decision. We're not going to replace it right away.
What
we're
is the next
the
nearest tot lot?
There isn't one.
Friends Park.
Friends Park's not a tot lot.
Well, what's the next nearest playground?
Well, I'm
Friends Park's a 2-5 with a 5-12.
Right, so it's 2-5.
Right.
There's
a 2-5
playground.
It's
not a dedicated tot lot, but there is play equipment for 2-5.
But now there's going to be West School and Astor.
So what's closest to Milton Park would probably be Friends Park, Old Elm, and Astor will probably be the closest three sites.
Yeah.
All right.
And
so nobody's going to walk across Green Bay Road with their 2-year-old.
Is this doable? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Steph.
That park is also next to someone's house, so I just think we should keep that in mind, as maybe it's a nice one to take out.
The Milton?
Yeah,
there's a pathway
moving.
The residents.
Right, and a park next to you, you know that is a challenge.
We're going to Washington or the...
Sorry, why is that an advantage, Stephanie?
I'm just saying then because it's extra complicated when it's almost part of somebody's house, even though there is a pathway there that separates it.
There's
I
a
don't
lot of
see that park being used. I know every time I say that, someone's going to say, oh, I see tons of people at that park, which is possible. I don't really know. I'd like to see if there is a need and if the residents would be upset over there. It might be a park. I pass by there every day, twice a day, and I never see anyone there. But it could be the time of the day I'm going. So
I don't really know.
Grandmas or older nannies in there.
I agree with that. Historically, that park was moved from Taif when Taif was renovated. That used to be out in front of the building here. So that park has not been, that particular playground has not been at that site for more than 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
But
was there a playground there?
I would have to check on that.
But it doesn't remove the fact that we would need to change to upgrade the path, correct?
Right.
So it's not like we take
still fix that.
Yeah.
We would still have to pick up, definitely.
So how much is that?
Fix the pathway, maybe keep the swing in.
$4,000 if I'm doing it.
Yeah.
That's probably 10 years, Chris, because we put
it,
that in early.
Is it cheaper if you make it?
Phase one.
What's that?
Gravel.
Crushed gravel?
That like limestone gravel as opposed to asphalt.
Chris loves that.
If that's not ADA accessible, it's actually more maintenance. Yeah, when we put pathways in, they have to be ADA accessible.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you essentially put in $75,000 for it, basically, because you put in three.
Yeah.
So you're essentially accounting for about
75,
right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that if it was me, I was looking at the pathways and the drainage, I would probably put in 100 because those numbers for Old Elm and those other parks are a little bit higher because there's drinking fountains at those sites, which represents a $15,000 to $20,000 increase in the project cost versus Astor Park, which doesn't have a drinking fountain. So,
okay.
Or you know, we don't always have to put in these, you know, standard parks. You could put in... a couple of swinging things, you could put in a few slides. Like you can make it different and not just order the same. And I know we were saying we're replacing that, putting.
Well, by replacing, we remain exactly the same. Obviously, we're doing different equipment. We're putting in playground equipment for the same, but that's.
But we don't have to do $200,000.
No, if you want to say we're just going to put swing stuff there, we've, you know, taken the your. You can say that.
Yeah.
That I like that, too.
I like that
Maybe
idea.
We should scale back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like that idea.
That's right.
And have the really...
Parks,
right.
And I don't have to be...
It's just to kill some time and sit on a bench and then keep moving.
So we can just say, this one is going to be... We'll bring it down. We'll just say it's not going to be replaced. Only the pathway, and there'll be a swing set put in.
And the swinging bench, because everybody loves those.
The swinging bench.
Like maybe put
and Mike and I wanted to go
car trip. 125,
130. I mean, you still have to put the drainage in for the playground.
Yeah.
You're still looking at
the right chips.
Yeah, it's still, once you've got the playground equipment there, you've got the cost of the playground. Whether it's a $200,000 playground or a $130,000 playground, it's still the drain, it's still the curb, it's still the safety surface.
So, like, this would be a perfect one to do, like, that playhouse.
Yeah, right.
To do what?
There's this playhouse.
It's
really cute. We'll show it. Perfect for that age. Uh-huh. And it wouldn't be a whole structure, but you could put a few cute things and spend less, but still have an area for people to go and make it a little different.
There's one in back of the Winnetka Community Center. It's like a wacky, it looks like the roof is kind of crooked. It's kind of like a, if you go in back on the Green Bay Trail in back of the, you can see it. So Lisa and Chris, is what we have listed here for 18, 19, 1920 years, are these doable? I mean, is this too much?
No.
It isn't.
Put them up there if they were.
Okay.
When you do multiple playgrounds, it's actually, you can bid an economy of scale to get a 1 week's contractor.
Sure.
Now, the downside is that maybe three playgrounds will be closed at one time.
That's cute.
See, that requires all the same stage. So believe it or not, that is probably about, that's the cost of a playground.
Even like this, just a small one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how expensive that stuff gets. It's like
a little,
you think.
It's cute. I like it a lot. That's really cute.
Yeah, it is cute. Something different. That's cute, right?
But it's probably about $275.
I just don't want to pay for it.
And how it's cheaper.
But it encourages a different kind of play, and it's something, you know, marks these as.
Like we said, we want our playgrounds to all be like a different theme where they go to it. So that would be very appropriate for them.
Mm-hmm. So repeal, not repeal and replace.
Please don't get it.
Just kidding. Okay. So?
We didn't move the dog park to this year then?
You know, we joke a little because it's so frustrating, but maybe something we should consider is starting to have some kind of community dialogue about it. So, because I think the community thinks we're just putting our money elsewhere. I don't think they realize the stumbling block that we don't really have a place to put it. I don't think that message gets out, and maybe we need to start having discussions about it. Maybe there is a place.
Wine and Green. Between the library and the village hall.
Yeah,
that'd be real back.
Perfect.
There is places, but you're always going to get complaints from neighbors. Like, well, where do you stay?
I mean, there's a couple of locations we've looked at along Green Bay Road. I mean, some of them, Hartman Park, they don't really even have names, some of those parcels that are open along Green Bay Road. But as Lisa said, I mean, those parks have neighbors just like every park has neighbors.
What if we built a peninsula into Lake Michigan off of Lake Front Park?
That'd be fun.
Kill two birds with one stone.
I don't know. I feel like it's the elephant in the room that we don't address.
Yeah.
For good reason, I understand, but.
Because we had a donor for it.
Yeah.
Is that donor still willing?
They're still alive.
He hasn't. They're still alive. They're still alive.
We're that way.
But we just have to have a place. So I don't know if you want to hold a community meeting and put out all the possible places and then put it out there. And then we're talking, they're just.
Oh, man.
I would attend just to see how Dudley handles that. There's been some potential discussion.
Just putting
it out. Hear people yell at you.
Steve, that was good. I'll give you that one tonight. That was good.
Horse was good.
Win the prize.
That was good. On their land, so
I mean, you pretty much just have to pick that you do. We'd have to say, this is the place we want it, and see.
I know of a few people we should check and make sure they're out of town before we have that discussion.
And everybody wants it in their backyard, too, so that's another issue.
Well, everyone wants to be able to walk there, but nobody wants it in their backyard.
Right.
I mean, that's the issue.
Do we want to keep one on?
Well, when we sell it.
Stephanie, has this moved over? Do we want to keep
it? I'm nervous about having that many parks in any one year, of the smaller parks.
I'm nervous about having less than three playgrounds next year.
Less than three?
Yes.
Okay.
Less than three.
I defer to you on that.
Less
you know
than
at least three.
Okay.
To replace them.
All right.
So
that's three.
So we move Lincoln and Crescent and we replaced it with Woodlawn.
So, but
is that okay? What do you think? Because you know the status of those, so speak honestly now.
Close.
close. I'd have to really do an assessment because the numbers that were up there for 18-19 were based on our safety assessment, so I would have to do an assessment and get back to the board on that.
Lisa. I mean, you can switch it back.
If you have concern, please do.
Yeah, switch it back. I mean, they both get, I know Lincoln and Crescent.
Well, I will say Woodlawn definitely gets more use than Lincoln and Crescent. It is a bigger playground. It has a larger footprint. There's more that we could do there, hence the $400,000 price tag. Mm-hmm.
And again, if we have a plan for the Green Bay Road parks, it may incorporate this
We did originally present the Lincoln and Crescent Playground on the old Green Bay Linear Parks in the same project cycle, just based on economy of scale, mm-hmm. being at the same location, but we have shifted things around after the failure of the Jefferson and Vernon Playground. So I would say from a comfort level, I think three playgrounds in 18-19 has to keep us on that pace. Whether it's Woodlawn or Lincoln and Crescent, I would have to do a little bit more evaluation and get back to the board on that.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
I think it's nice to keep that with the linear parks then.
Yeah.
Because that does make more sense, and we might want to incorporate those somehow, and mm-hmm. so why not keep them together?
Keep them together, yeah.
Sure.
The Lincoln Crescent?
Yeah. Anything else that anyone feels is important for us to address up there? Okay, Lisa, would the next step be you sort of formally list these things out and then we bring it to the board and say that's our plan?
To the July board meeting.
Okay.
And you would approve this plan, which is great because then we can start planning over, once we get the budget finalized, we can start the process of planning so we can start construction earlier.
Okay.
That's what we want to do, is start getting in these rotations faster and planning faster.
Okay. So I'm just going to move right along here. Okay. As chair, I direct staff based on the...
This is kind of what that is.
So like showing money around.
Is adding the $25,000 for the equipment of Friends, adding $100,000 for the planning of the linear parks, and minimizing Milton down to 130.
Did you move Woodlawn?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Move.
Well, I thought we decided to stay then with Crescent and Lincoln.
I think we keep Woodlawn and I'll evaluate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lisa, is that?
Yeah.
As far as the old Green Bay linear parks, is that number? Are we master planning it and preparing to go out to bid, or is that number for? If that number is master plan only, it's a little bit high for master plan.
Yeah. And we were master plan only.
How much was
this
master plan?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what's one put in?
$100,000 is for the planning. So are we executing the planning with the intent of breaking ground on construction in 1920? So we're leading up to it like we did with West, where we did.
Okay. We would plan in this year and then break ground in this year.
Okay, so okay, let's leave the $100,000 then.
Leave it then.
Yeah.
So now it's $400,000.
What?
I'm screwed up here. So now it's a $400,000 project.
Well, planning, and that's. Because is that a known number, really, Chris?
Because it was $300,000.
No, we don't know what the planning side of it to know
that
$300,000 is really.
So
my guess is this will also be phased in for donations.
Okay.
And I think it's going to, if you're talking, this was just for a trail through it, but if you're talking fitness equipment, anything else along that, it's going to be.
Our linear skate park.
Mm-hmm. I know my work doing. Restoration that you could spend between $300 and $3 million. It just depends on how mature the stuff you want to plant.
Do we want to, as they're all connected, do we want to include the Veterans Park in just the master planning phase for Old Green Bay because it's there and knowing that we're not going to do construction on it?
I think that's way down towards the end of the lineal. I think it's fine. Let's not do that one right now.
Oh.
Because I think you've made that park look very nice. I think we should just wait to do that.
Beautiful, Chris. It does.
And there's kind of delineation from a road perspective. I think we're fine.
That much the next year.
And then we went down.
Yeah. So that's not.
Right. I mean,
we moved up linear. We took down Milton,
but
we moved up linear, so we went up $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So at the end of that, we're down to very minimal.
Yeah.
That's a little less. Not real supportive of that.
Yeah.
You see that, Lisa Brooks?
I see that. Mm-hmm. I see that. But the reason...
I'm sorry, Lisa.
Go ahead.
Are you referring to your concern about $1.1 million in 18-19 or negative $2.3 million?
Well, I am concerned about that one. But, you know, it's just taking it down. And again, as I've said, depending on what happens legislatively, you know, I put in there $600,000. And I'm pretty confident about that, at least.
You mean in terms of the new funds? Mm-hmm.
New funds.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, we just put TBD in with the the debt that's going to come off. Mm-hmm. So
we got stuff for that. But we also have the house. We have the Linden Street property. Yeah, there's a little something coming in there.
Mm-hmm. You know, at the top, kind of an unknown. Mm-hmm.
We just want to kind of go on record that some of us might have a little discomfort taking a reserve down that low.
Yes.
So that might color some of our decisions as we start firming up a schedule or firming up the complexity of our plans for these individual components.
I keep in mind that we're also very conservative on our fund balance levels. Our fund balances are all at 50% before we transfer there.
Right.
So our operating fund balances are very, very healthy and we're at a very conservative level.
And I think it's integral that we continue with that attitude.
And yes,
this is not a temporary posture.
Right.
This has always been something we've done. And the fact that our bond rating reflects that fiscal prudence and our stature in the parks community reflects that fiscal prudence. And that's from constant vigilance. Or crabbiness.
Well, and after 1920, we've really moved through the playgrounds.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you look that, you know, a lot of those TBD projects are different than maintain the existing infrastructure.
Right.
Other than the athletic fields, those other...
Well, ice rink and, you know.
I will just, again, because I have to point that out, we're at the minus $2.3 million with the TBDs all being the very largest projects.
Yeah, right, Keep that in mind.
Because we know the smaller things are going to come up and postpone things.
Yes.
But the West fields are a very underutilized and underdeveloped asset. I think they have fallen into somewhat disrepair in their northwest corner and that. And having most of my friends in Glencoe when I was grammar school and junior high school age lived in that Strawberry Hill, that area, I remember it being much busier.
That is one of that field does need a lot of work. So when you're looking at maintaining our current infrastructure, we're not able to do that under the current, you know, if we add new things in there.
That's another area in Glencoe that I think will turn over in the next decade
probably.
With more younger families.
I agree.
We're seeing it more in the Glencoe core and all the blocks around me. Mm-hmm. Tons of tricycles and big wheels and scooters. Mm-hmm. And not so much over in the West School area. And I think that is going to turn over.
I agree.
A lot of my parents' friends are still in their homes there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my friends are still in their homes there. And that's going to turn over as we start retiring out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will have to address West Park. All those items we'll have to address. So if you move to doing Green Bay, which is a new asset, but a great thing to put in the community, people want trails, we're sacrificing some of those other ones.
But you know, if you look, I just totaled up all the playgrounds that are in our face and how much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's $1 million in place. Lakefront, Woodlawn, Milton. It's in some way Jefferson, Old Bell. I mean, you add all these up, it's $1 million plus just for the, and that's the ones we know about, you know. And it's all playgrounds.
It's replacing our current infrastructure. So unless you're willing to say, okay, we can get rid of a playground, I mean, that's a decision you would have to make as a board.
I was trying to pick one that isn't as underserved as, like, behind the one, like, on Old Elm. There's really nothing else over there, so that would be more an underserved area,
yes.
Right? And then Lincoln and Crescent, actually, there's really nothing else over there either. I mean, they're close to Friends.
They're close to
Friends. Still underserved. That one
but they're across Green Bay.
It's a little bit of an odd duck.
Which one?
That one at Milton.
Milton. It is odd duck.
Yeah.
There's
but
other
again,
ones that are closer.
It doesn't go down to zero. you know, here we are, we're, so now it's just...
Right.
Well, you put it to 130 because you wanted to put a swing set or something else in there, which means you still have to do the drainage, you still have to do the safety service curves. If you took those out and just did that pathway, then we're back down to
50,000, 60,000.
As soon as you put something in there, then it's...
I just want to throw out a crazy idea in the spirit of maybe reducing a playground. I've talked to some of you about this. If you built a path from Old Elm to Takeoff, like behind the maintenance garage, that would give access to the Takeoff Center playground to families that live in that area without having to go down the
road. But Takeoff Center is not available to the public when the programs are in session.
That's a fair point.
That's a catch.
Yeah.
And that one I see more use at.
Yeah, I think those...
There's nowhere to go.
Yeah, it's a lot of use.
Yeah.
Not that I want to take it away from anyone's neighborhood. I mean, if people are very attached to their park, but when you add it up, it's we're spending a lot.
Mm-hmm. But we are very overserved with playgrounds.
Yes, we are.
State, I think it's just state and national average. I think the average is, I think, 0.6 playgrounds per 1,000 people, and I think we're at like 1.3, something like that. I had the statistics, we looked at them in another committee meeting, but I mean, we know that our infrastructure is larger than the state and national average when it comes to tennis courts, when it comes to playgrounds, when it comes, I mean, there's that this park district is sized for a larger community than we serve. But really,
people move here because it's...
Because people want those...
It's a terrible dilemma that we've...
That's why.
We don't want to compare ourselves to state and national average. We want to compare ourselves to the other top 5% wealthy communities in the country.
Right. And that's what makes
how we have far,
that's what makes us special, is that we have this infrastructure in place.
Yeah.
That's what makes Glencoe special. What we have to be careful is, you know, when, say, Jefferson and Vernon is being replaced next year, the community there might say they want something bigger and better than they're there. So we have to be very careful and say, we can't afford something bigger or better there. This is the money we have, because there's going to be, I'm sure you'll have parents come and they'll go, I want this and this and this on there, and we only have this, we're placing that asset that we have. Because I'm sure that's going to happen in some of those younger, you know.
Yeah, that one especially will have to manage expectations.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I think the expectation I've already heard.
Neighborhood that already is emailing about it.
Right, are they?
Well, and I think it's also important to know, as far as the equipment that we have eliminated equipment in some parks.
Yes.
South in Green Bay, there was
a
swing set
point.
Which we removed the swing set at Apartment Park. We removed the 2-5 playground behind Watts Ice Rink.
Right.
Yeah. So we did parse down our inventory in some areas. We have removed some of those items that are just once off or odds and ends and that type of thing. So as crazy as it sounds, even just the swing set at Apartment Park, that's 12 labor hours a year that went into just inspecting that swing set. Mm-hmm. Those types of sites, those are the types of things that we look at from a logistical point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not going there except to cut the grass now versus inspect the swings, rake the chips, that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. The only one I would recommend taking out, if we took out any playground, is Milton. Because it's of the location, there's easy access to other playgrounds, and it's kind of just put there on by the road, it's next to the neighborhood.
So
but I would still leave the pathway, because I think that's a nice pathway in there.
Yeah.
I would still leave that for sure, but maybe take out the playground, and that means not putting a swing set, nothing, because then you have to have the drainage, you have to have the fall service. I mean, it's just something to think about. It's not something we have to make. It's obviously for next year, so we could have this discussion again. Say, okay, let's think about, do we really,
Is there anything else from that anyone would take out, just because we are nervous about these numbers on the back? I mean, to get it down.
I would just say two things, Stephanie. One is, I'm not sure what the current number at the bottom is. Can you scroll down? But in any event, I think, 660,000. I mean, we're operating pretty conservatively in the sense that we have these healthy operating fund balances. All of these things are optional. You know, we can, if something changes in Springfield or whatever, we can always say, stop, we got to reevaluate.
Exactly. That's right.
Right. So I don't think that we're being fiscally irresponsible. I've said my piece about the parking lot. I would defer that. But if the other commissioners want to go ahead with that, I think this is reasonably, I don't think this is fiscally irresponsible.
Yeah, I think we transferred more money this year, $1 million, than we were anticipating. Last year we did, what, 1.7 in projects? So the 1.65 for next year. You know, I think you could really look at those first 2 years, and everything is so unknown and what might come up.
Mm-hmm.
But as you pointed out too, Josh, at one point when we did this building, we took fund balances down all the way to 15%.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they've grown back up, and we have this building.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we could look to maybe go down to 25%, which is still, you know, would be okay by the Government Finance Officers Association.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we might have to do that if we're going to need to look at some of these projects that are going to need to be done. But we can evaluate at that point in time, I think.
Mm-hmm. Carol, how much would that 25% represent typically?
Probably $2 million.
That's a big chunk. I also just want to point out that optically in this last year it looks like a nightmare, but we basically loaded every idea into 1 year.
Right.
Yeah, because it says later.
But
so later can be
10 years.
Yeah. Right. Oh, totally. Exactly. Just keep that in mind. That some of those things may not come up. That's everything else that was listed in the master plan that I put up there because you have to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we agree West Park, the baseball does not want to play at that baseball field because of the condition it's at. So we would like to, you know, eventually bring that up, but we know that other things take precedence over that. So.
Things seem to have changed at Watts Ice Rink. We seem to be staying a step ahead.
Yeah.
We used to always be watching over our heads for the shoe to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then a big thing would happen. Remember how that used to go? And it was like, okay, is this the meeting of the heart attack? And we seem to have gotten out ahead of Watts, major maintenance and other issues.
Mm-hmm.
From
Chris, Chris and Mike, that's
no, I get it, and I appreciate that. But that's a big relief. And we might find that some of these things, as we're catching up on our inventory, might be maintained to a higher standard going forward. We might get them to last a little longer, having the right equipment and the right people.
Well, and that's why I wanted to say also, because when you see we're conservative about the 300,000 or, you know, 600,000, we also are investing more in our maintenance of ours. So you'll see less being set aside for these big capital projects because we want to invest in our infrastructure more in the operational end. So that's what we're talking about. We're going to power wash the tennis courts every year because we want to make sure maybe we can push off resurfacing those if we do that maintenance every year. Rooftops, things like that, that we want to protect what we have, make it look like new, instead of having to do these big infrastructure replacements eventually. You know, we have to repair what we've had for the last couple of years to get to that point.
If you get three times the value of our dollar in preventative maintenance than emergency overtime maintenance.
Right.
You know, we look at the operating budget of Watts, and yes, we're spending, say, $10,000 to $15,000 on preventative maintenance at the beginning of the season. We're going the whole season without a piece of equipment breaking down and spending that on overtime.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that approach, as Lisa says, looking at that plan that we have from ACG, that 20-year look ahead, I think that's what we have as a tool for our regular fund.
It's making a difference already in some of our facilities.
It is. It's really making a difference. So while you see we have less to set aside for the capital projects, we're maintaining our current assets better. So that's our goal. So, and like we said, we talked about the bluff stabilization. We're working towards that. Geotech, we're putting all the pieces in place. We'll have a presentation of what we want to do probably September, October. But initial estimates, our initial look at it, it's not like something's going to happen in a year or two. We're really trying to plan out. So it's not like the whole thing's going to cave in onto the beach. That's not what it's looking like, but we're just trying to plan out. So we might not have to do really major things for 10 years on that.
Found out about the bluff, I would put that ahead of Westfield. I would put that head of Reinsdorf Field.
Oh, yeah.
Because we can't replace what we have there.
Oh, God, never.
No.
So, but that later is in no particular order. I just want you to know that was just thrown up there and just randomly putting those down.
Right.
So don't take any order in those at all. Those are just later. We'll talk about them later.
Sure.
So, okay.
That says a lot about the dog park.
David, make the list. Well, actually, I'm going to make the list
just like nobody wants to be
put
at that
meeting.
No, I would love a dog park.
Yes, I know you would. I know.
I would too.
I know.
I just have one last comment.
Yes, Tiffany.
Because we're thinking about putting things together.
Yes.
Just with Lakefront, I know that we don't really have the master plan, so this might not make any sense at all.
But because we're looking at the tennis court thing, do we want to look at the park at the same time, or we don't? And like maybe we switch Woodlawn back and move Lakefront Park back if we want to look at those together.
I think they're totally different amenities.
They're
not done by the same trade, so it's has no problem doing it from one year to the next.
Would it be Altima New doing, would they be looking at the tennis courts, or is that someone else that would just be?
Yeah, we would have Altima New draw a plan for us, and then we would take it out to bid. So we would, if we had the tennis courts at the playground, we would have the same general contractor, but they would be different trades. So we might not get a discount like we would if it was Lakefront Park Playground at Jefferson and Vernon Playground, where there's economy of scale because it's different trades. I mean, we would avoid escalation in the sense that it wouldn't be 2 years down the line. We don't, you know, we know where things are going. But I mean, there is the argument of the disruption. I mean, it is a major park.
Right.
It is in a very tranquil location. Mm-hmm. We would have contractors on site 2 years in a row. I mean,
true.
That's worth a discussion.
That is true.
Yeah.
I think
it's kind of worrying about the
problematic.
That's an excellent point, because notwithstanding what you just said, which I appreciate, one of the ideas was take one of the three tennis courts and turn it into the mound thing, which is clearly connected to the playground.
Right.
Right? So it would be weird to...
Well, if we go back to looking at the tennis courts and the playground, we've gone back to the tennis court playground and pathway project that we had budgeted.
Right.
Which I know is the problem.
Which was...
too expensive.
Yeah. That was only a 410 project. What we originally recommended was the tennis court, playground, and the pathway, which is about 410.
But that doesn't include the drainage, which affects the bluff. I mean, all these things are interconnected.
Right. So we don't know how that's going
to happen. I mean, so...
The pathway is what they were really worried about. They weren't worried about the playground. They weren't worried about the tennis court. They weren't worried about the pathway.
But wasn't it like something about, because we don't know what's happening with the bluff, if we replace something, they have to like dig it up or change it?
For the pathway, I think, is really what they were concerned about.
I don't see us, if, you know, hypothetically we put a pathway out there, coming back in 2 years and saying, oh, wow, we need to tear out 95% of this to repair this problem. I think the idea was, let's get a concrete plan for the whole park and then move forward.
Yeah.
But we're not going to put the pathway in a position where it's going to fall down the bluff. I mean, we're going to route that pathway in a way that if we do have to go under the pathway, we're taking out two sidewalk tiles to put drainage pipes in versus having to run through the whole path.
Like, that's what I was saying, is I don't want to pay Altima New three times for the same park. If they're doing all the different components, which it sounds like they would be if we're still using them, it just seems like we're being a little bit...
Well, you're paying them on the percentage of the
car.
Project. You're paying a percentage of the project anyway, so it doesn't matter if it's...
So the budget, they typically charge between 10% and 11.5%, depending on the complexity of the project. So whatever your project budget is, you know what their fee is going to be.
I mean, I guess because we don't know if we're taking out the tennis court or we're not, but if we're taking it out, it just seems weird to not connect it to the park. If you've been to the Children's Garden and the Botanic Gardens, it's amazing. And that's what I'm picturing when you're talking about the hills, and people just love it. I mean, it's really, really popular. And it's beautiful. So I don't know if that's what we're talking about, that would incorporate that whole area. Just a thought.
Well, and I think to Chris's point, he is right. If the biggest disruption is construction 2 years in a row. So I don't know. Could the tennis courts make it another year?
Yes. We're going to get the exact same complaints we get this year. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be great to play on. They're going to be the same, you know, carpet that's outside that they are now, but I don't think they're going to have a sinkhole.
Well, can we keep it there and move Lakefront Park, or we're not ready for that, and move Woodlawn back?
I don't think we're ready for that. Lakefront Park yet.
No.
So what we could do is we could do Lincoln and Crescent and...
Yeah.
But then you're out of sync with the old Green Bank.
Right.
Well, we could develop...
I thought Lakefront Park, that's just the playground. That's not a redesign of the whole park.
Correct.
So...
But it is from the whole tennis court over. I mean, when do you decide if you're going to keep the tennis court?
Right.
Well, we said we were going to put that discussion off for later, so I see how all these things are, one feeds into the next.
I mean, no, that discussion, but you're still going to have to pay money to take it out, so you leave it here if you're going to decide whether you want a tennis court or not.
It's going to cost money to take it away.
Right. How much?
If we were going to just demo it,
you know,
the mounds, that 150, that range, or we could demo it and just go grass, that would be less expensive, but again, you know, we would be taking an asset away and not putting something back. But, you know, again, it would be doable.
I mean, listen, that's only 150. That's the
I'd love to have at least some sort of sport court.
Yeah, I
there.
Would too.
Even
I
if we have one.
Yeah.
I was thinking of a tennis court and a sport court.
Uh oh. All right. All right, so we're...
I don't know, even a basketball court at one end, basketball hoop at one end.
We're not going to decide tonight, so we really need to keep that chunk in there because it is something we're going to decide over the next year. And if the one problem is... All these things are connected. The mounds, the playground, and the tennis courts. They really are. We can't do them individually. We probably have to think of it all as one entity.
So it wasn't Stephanie's original suggestion to swap Woodlawn and Lakefront Park Playground?
Yes.
So just take that, and then we have the same amount of money because it's $400,000. We're taking that down, and we're keeping the same amount of money.
No, but she's saying to swap them.
Take the Lakefront Park Playground and
put it over there and put Woodlawn back to 1920.
Oh, you want to change those two?
Yeah.
I don't know if we're ready for next year.
But, so she, just to be clear, she was talking about move this and this.
Right.
To there. And he just said, I don't think we're ready for that.
Well, I can design
that. Ready for the tennis courts.
Well, I said that we had to have a plan.
Because we don't...
We don't have... September, October is when we're going to get that geotech back, and that's going to inform what that plan looks like. I mean, that would be when I would be comfortable saying, yes, let's go ahead and replace this playground and, you know...
The playground.
Yes, the playground.
I guess it's the timing of it as well. Yeah. Okay. All right.
The tennis court's a little bit...
To me, the playground is, again, in that 3 to 5 year window where I think the tennis court is in the immediate future window.
Right.
I mean, we're already at the point where we're not getting use on it because of the condition of it.
Right. So we really need to move
Well, doing what Lisa Shepherd did there is slightly more fiscally conservative than what we had been talking about, right? We're not spending any less money over 3 years, but we're...
Spreading it out a little.
The money that we would spend. Yeah, we're spreading it out. Thanks.
Except that the residents aren't happy with the tennis court, so that's a diminished service to them moving
to that. Well, the tennis group I talked about wanted us to take it out, so they're not playing on it right now.
Yeah, the tennis players don't play there.
It's more fun and recreation. My kids played there. We've played there as a family.
My kids play there. They love it.
It's so beautiful. That's
it's
so true.
Wimbledon.
Yeah.
They don't care about the wind. They don't care about
no.
It's a different
it's
kind of
not,
playing
surface,
so,
it
yeah.
is. Ah.
So then you would do that together. You could decide. You know, maybe it's not a playground, but you just put mounds in there instead of.
Well,
know.
There that actually was a suggestion.
An option.
So if you do the mounds there, then you want to do a Dungeons and Dragons playground because it's like the dragon's back with the mound.
Think of like a rec professional mound.
Yeah.
So that group that came in wasn't complaining about that court, but that guy called.
Yeah, he calls every year all the time. So,
okay. So you're not getting
someone just reminded you of that. Unless we had someone that went out there and swept the courts every day, he'd probably call. You know?
So it's not like people aren't being able to use it. You're not getting multiple.
No.
I don't want to take away. I don't like
Are we now in a mindset where we're satisfied with this as it is? Do we need to digest it individually and then come back? I mean, I'm just starting to worry that people are starting to get that.
Now,
funky, tired end of the day feeling.
We don't have to approve this in July.
We can
go back and say, let's think about it, have a committee meeting in September, and talk about it again, and then
revisiting it after a little break and digesting
it. We're ahead of the game as it was compared to last year anyway.
Yeah.
We didn't do the park tour.
What do you think, Steve?
I think we respected Chris's direction with addressing our smaller neighborhood parks. We haven't pushed any of those back, so we're staying on the side of conservative safety there, and I think that's an important priority. My only concern comes in the overall looking at Lakefront Park with the various components, that we do have the geotech available so that we know whatever we're doing is viable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I I agree with Steve. I think it's responsible to, I mean, first of all, we've done three wood playgrounds ASAP. And second, we haven't invested a lot of money in Lakefront Park without knowing for real what's going on with the bluff.
And if somebody asks, that's what we tell them.
Yeah.
More information isn't a bad thing.
And Josh, this is one of your first go-arounds here with getting behind something that might not immediately be real pleasant for you. And we've all experienced that.
With get the ready.
Parking, with the parking.
More opportunities.
And there's more opportunities for that coming, as Dudley said. But, you know, we've seen the bottlenecks here. And we're hoping for the continued growth and continued expansion of popularity here. And this is not something we have to do often. If we have to put on another layer of asphalt years down the road, it's not going to be the same as having to recontour, regrade, and redo all this. So this is something that perhaps wasn't properly visualized, or the vision wasn't as expansive when this building was designed than when this was redone.
Yeah, they didn't take a
So I would say, as chair, I direct staff based on discussion of the committee to revisit this in committee meeting in September.
Perfect.
And then list it for approval in the September regular board meeting.
Okay.
Correct?
Perfect.
Okay.
I know that we do have, Commissioner Underdunk is gone for that traditional Tuesday, September meeting, which would have been the 5th. Are you gone the 12th also?
I should be back for the 12th.
So we can move the committee meeting to the 12th of September.
All right, okay. Committee meeting the 12th.
I'll be gone then.
You're gone then? Are you around on the 11th?
No.
You're not around? Okay.
Gone.
The whole week?
The whole week.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I could do something like Thursday night.
Would Thursday...
No.
Nope.
I could theoretically do the 14th of September.
Is theoretically actually also? Or if we set it for the 14th, would that,
I can't do that
maybe
one.
Be... Okay, forget it.
I can't do that 14th.
Okay, good. Lots of forget... Okay, okay. Then we have the week of the 18th through the 22nd, or the 5th
so
through the.
Our regular board meeting is the 19th, so that one's.
Oh, it is the 19th.
Yeah. So we could do it before that one.
Oh, I have something. Oh, that we're going to New Orleans then, right? The next week.
Okay.
All right. So how about
we could do it before a board meeting if you wanted to.
Oh, that makes for such a. I hate blog.
That's a rough night.
Yeah. We've discounted
so
the 5th
Labor
through the 8th one.
Work?
Yeah.
I think Dudley's gone.
Oh, you're gone the 5th through the 8th, Dudley?
Yeah, actually, before the 5th.
Okay, so you're gone the week of the 5th through the 8th.
Yes.
All righty.
And the 12th didn't work?
No.
No, not for me.
Okay.
How about the 18th? How about Monday the 18th? Or would people rather do them both on the same day? I find that the concentration level and so forth really wanes when we're doing two things at once, and this is kind of an important thing. Not that everything we do isn't important, but...
Do the 18th?
Works for me.
Monday the 18th?
Yeah.
What time is real good for everyone? 6:30?
I'm saying for me about 10:15, because I fly back into O'Hare about 9 o'clock.
At night?
Yeah.
Oh, 18?
Oh,
so it doesn't work for you.
So it doesn't.
Well, it depends on how late you're willing to go.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Not to be crazy, but what if we did the special projects meeting on the 19th and moved the board meeting to the 20th?
It's hard to move board meeting. That's harder to do.
So that is crazy.
Hard, and I believe you. I just don't.
Yeah,
know
you have to. You have to pass it in the board meeting this
Here's
month,
a crazy
and then you
suggestion.
Have to repost it because it's a regular board meeting.
Here's a crazy suggestion there. If we want to do all this on Tuesday the 19th when we're all in town, can we do this and schedule this in such a way that we have at least a 15 or 20 minute recharge intermission between meetings?
Well, yes, you could do whatever you want, because I don't know how long the discussion will take. And the board meeting is set for 7.
And that actually, tonight, at 8 o'clock, I thought we were done. It's 8:35, because the discussion really keeps going. And
yeah.
The problem with a special project meeting
before
is you've got a dead stop time, and we
yeah.
have to stop talking about it, whether we're done or not, and we have to reach a decision. So it may not be an issue at all, but...
Yep.
Can we do it after the board meeting, or we're going to have to vote on what we discuss at the board meeting?
No, we could do it after, or we could just do it for in October and approve it in October, right?
Is that a
fine.
Problem?
No, why don't we do that?
Okay, fine.
So then our normal scheduled October meeting is the first Tuesday month, so October 3rd is our committee meeting, which is a standard
date. Okay, so that's when it is.
Okay.
Okay.
So we'll do a special meeting, special projects meeting. Can we do it at 6:30?
Mm-hmm.
I can do that, but I prefer 7, because then I don't have to leave work at 4:15.
Okay, so 7 o'clock?
7 is good.
Tuesday, October 3rd, 7 p.m.
Yep.
We approved it in October. We could start our planning in November then?
We could start it actually in October after the 17th, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So we would be approving this in the Special Projects Committee?
No, we'd be talking about it. We'd be approving it in 17th, October 17th, and then...
So we could... Would we have hypothetically a proposal to start planning on that same board meeting?
We'll talk about that later. Probably not.
Okay. November then. Got it.
But that's okay.
Is that
yes.
okay with you?
Yes. That still gives us way more time than we've ever had before, so
okay,
we're fine.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really we're fine.
All right.
Yeah.
Even if we start in November, we're fine. Yeah.
Matters from the public? No? Okay. Did I miss something? No. No. Okay. And we have no other business?
I would just like to thank Lisa and the staff. I thought this was well prepared, and despite the differences of opinion, I thought the way you set it up, both in terms of the information and the board, was helpful.
That was Lisa, too.
I have always disliked I insisted on this because I want to see people's eyes. I think it helps. I think it makes us feel like we're working together instead of sitting in a row and speaking outward.
The
and they're happy to be as, they're goofing around over there anyway.
I only got promoted to the adult table in the last
thank
5 years.
Lisa,
so
good. I really have to say this was a really nice
well for his format. I think
yeah.
it really
just
awesome
in his new format. So this was very nice.
I really like this. Yep. So we're all happy.
Wonderful.
Okay.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second. Well, I can't do that. Sorry.
Anybody
Stephanie.
Else?
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. It's 8:37.